This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 76, Point and Shoot Cameras, a review of the Canon G11. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 76th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about point-and-shoot cameras, and I'm going to give a review of the Canon G11. But before we do anything, I wanted to wish people a very, very happy new year. This is our first podcast of the new year, and I hope everyone had wonderful holidays, and I hope everyone is planning to do some excellent photography in the new year. With regards to photography.ca, we have a redesign plan for this year. In fact, I hope it will start within the next 30, 40, 50 days. And that should make the entire site look better, definitely, and work better as well. If anyone has any suggestions, feel free, of course, photography.ca@gmail.com. If you think anything is missing from photography.ca, I know some people go to the forum only and some people listen to the podcast only, but there's a few other sections. And if you wanted to give me your input on how you think you can make our site better, well, that would be just so much appreciated. So thanks so much. For today's show, we're going to talk about point and shoot cameras. And I think it's pretty apropos given that last podcast, number 75, we talked about how to buy your first DSLR. I also wanted to talk about point and shoot cameras this podcast because they're becoming more popular. But before we talk about it, I wanted to thank Glenn Uloth, Iguanasan, 42, Crystal B, Jack Label, Bambi, Juice, and Isaac for their comments on our last podcast number 75, buying your first DSLR. They found some interest and posted comments, and I wanted to give them a shout out. Our preferred way to get comments is indeed directly in the blog. That's photography.ca/blog. And underneath every podcast, there's the opportunity to comment, and that is our preferred method. So thanks so much. Of course, people can also leave me input or send me anything they like at photography.ca@gmail.com. And we also have a pretty active forum on photography.ca as well. Okay, so first off, like, what is a point-and-shoot camera, and why do I want to talk about this? Well, point-and-shoot cameras are getting better and better and better. And normally, I don't date the podcasts because the information that we put out, I kind of feel it's kind of evergreen. You know, we talk more about technique and general things here that will be of interest to people for years to come. But I'm recording this in January 2010, and that's because cameras are changing so rapidly that, you know, I just wanted to give people a time frame for this particular one because point-and-shoot cameras in 6 months or a year from now may be vastly different. So just wanted to put that out there. Okay, so first off, what is a point-and-shoot? A point-and-shoot camera, it's basically a smaller, compact camera that's mostly used by non-photographers to record souvenir shots. It is not at all equal to an SLR or a DSLR. And the primary difference between the two is going to be that in an SLR or DSLR, when you look through the viewfinder, you are seeing what the lens sees. Basically, the lens resolves the shot. It passes that image to a mirror, and the mirror passes that image to the viewfinder. So what you see is what you get. And in point-and-shoot cameras, there is no mirror between the lens and the viewfinder, so you get a very good approximation, but you're not looking at the scene as accurately as the lens is seeing it. Also, most point-and-shoot cameras, you cannot change lenses. Most point-and-shoot cameras, there is no manual focus, or it's embedded in the menu, so it's difficult to get the manual focus when you want to. And another aspect of point-and-shoot cameras is going to be their smaller sensor. For our purposes, for hobbyist photographers, advanced amateur photographers, serious photographers, pro photographers, you know, we want to get our point and shoots for the right reason. And in my estimation, today, January in 2010, there's only one reason to be getting a point and shoot camera if you are a photographer or a professional photographer, and that is portability. Because pound for pound, when you take the same shot with a point and shoot camera and when you take the same shot with a DSLR camera, chances are your DSLR camera will outperform your point and shoot camera. And yes, I know, there could be this static scene where you put your point and shoot on a tripod and now it has 10 megapixels or 14 megapixels. And in that case, perhaps you will not be able to distinguish the point and shoot shot from the DSLR shot. But overall, you will be able to tell what shot was taken with a point and shoot and what shot was taken with the DSLR. And a point and shoot, it's just not really a professional camera these days. We use it, we want them, we love them. but they're not professional. You're not going to see a professional photographer bringing a point and shoot to a gig. You're not going to see them pull it out when they're shooting professionally, chances are. Maybe as a third or fourth backup camera, if something goes wrong, you might bring it out at a paid event. But aside from that, you're never going to see a pro photographer pull it out. You know, you just won't. And yes, someone will tell me about two or three exceptions, but we're talking about 99% of pro photographers here, or even serious amateurs. If the shoot is important, they're bringing their best gear, and their best gear does not include the point-and-shoot camera. As I said, the point-and-shoot camera is for portability. For people like me that are always looking at stuff, oh my God, that would make such a great shot. I wish I had my camera with me. This is why you want a point-and-shoot camera, because you want something that you can keep with you that doesn't take too much weight, that's not bulky, that won't give you cramps in your muscles. This is the real reason why many pro photographers and advanced amateurs are buying point-and-shoot cameras. It's for the portability factor. So when something unexpected, when serendipity arises and we see something fantastic, we have something to shoot with. All things being equal, if my DSLR weighed as much as my point and shoot, I would have never bought my point and shoot. Never, because pound for pound, the quality is less. So again, for me, it is for those moments where my DSLR is not with me, so I can have something with me at all times, and that's so I won't miss a shot. That said, certain types of shots are crap for all point and shoot cameras thus far as I'm concerned, and I'll talk about that shortly. So even in certain situations where I don't have my DSLR with me and all I have my point and shoot, I mean, I'm going to be keenly aware of the limitations of my point and shoot. And for certain scenes, I'm not even going to use it. I'm just going to let my mind and eyes enjoy the scene. And that's how I'm going to record the scene, not by actually clicking a shutter. Okay, so now let's talk about the G11 by Canon. Straight up, this is a very, very, very good point and shoot camera. And straight up, it will never compare to DSLR cameras. It just won't, for the reasons mentioned before. It still has the limitations of all point-and-shoot cameras. And even though, you know, if you do searches on the internet, people are touting this camera, let's be real, it's a point-and-shoot camera. An excellent one, but it's a point-and-shoot camera, and it's made to save my muscles and my back over getting me the best possible quality. But it is very good, and that's why I bought it. And it's my first point-and-shoot camera. So many, many people have bought point-and-shoots before. But until very, very recently, I was not convinced that the quality would match up. And I've been wanting a point-and-shoot for a while, but if the quality's not there, you know, I'm not going to buy it. So I've had this G11 for a month now, and I really, really like it. So first off, it's 14 ounces or 400 grams. So your average DSLR camera is going to be between 2 and 3 pounds. That's just the body. Or maybe a pound and a half. So this is really, really light. So although it's not going to fit in my shirt pocket, it'll easily fit into like a little holster or something like that, or I could just drop it in my bag. It's small. It doesn't weigh that much, and it's built very, very, very solidly. It has a very solid feel, and it might actually weigh a little more than some other point and shoots, maybe by a good few ounces. But part of the reason I like it is because it feels solid. Another reason I like it has this tilt and swivel LCD screen. So, you know, in terms of composing something on the fly, that makes it really easy because you can see the shot before you can take the shot. And with the swivel, you can like take a self-portrait, right? I could just swivel that sucker 180 degrees. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at the lens and I'm looking at the viewfinder. So I could take a self-portrait of myself at arm's length or have someone come in the picture with me. It makes it very convenient to be able to use that. The lens is also quite good with this. It's a 28-140 zoom, which is pretty good for most applications. And it has an image stabilizer as well, which I really, really like. And I'm finding it quite good. Another reason I like it shoots in RAW. So there's not so many point-and-shoot cameras that shoot in RAW, but this one does. And I like that fact. And I've already processed a few frames easily in Photoshop. My camera RAW application already supports the G11, so yahoo. But here is where it really, really, really shines. I really, really love the dials on the top of the camera. So you have two main dials, and one is an exposure compensation dial. And we talked about exposure compensation in podcast number 72. And then again, that just makes your scene darker or lighter. So it's so beautiful on the G11 because it's right there. You don't have to dig into the menu. All you have to do is flip the dial on top of the very camera to +1 to make it brighter or -1 to make it darker. You can do that from -2 stops to +2 stops. Very, very convenient. Another thing we often want to do when we're shooting is we often want to change film speed. And Canon on this G11 did the same thing. So they put the film speed right on an easily accessible dial. So if you're shooting in bright sun and you were at 800 from your last shot, you don't have to dig into the menu. You just quickly turn it to 100 right in front of you, and you're set. Very, very convenient. The dials themselves feel very, very solid. They're well made. Another thing that I like a little is it has a movie. It's not an HD movie, but it does take movies, and the quality is quite good. Again, I don't know if that's a big photographic thing. There's so many other, you know, apparatuses that can do similar things, maybe with even better quality, but it's a nice feature to have. The lens itself is nice and bright. It's a 2.8 lens, which is pretty good for low light. It does different types of metering. I mean, it has all kinds of fun features. I'm not going to list them all, but if you go to Canon.com, you'll find all the specs there. But I do recommend this camera. A couple of things that I don't like about the camera. It wasn't the most comfortable to hold for my hands. I still like it. For me, that's not the biggest deal, given the all-around goodness of the camera, but I did want to mention it. One thing that I do appreciate about the G11 is the fact that it can do manual focus. That's not the best manual focus in the world, but it's pretty good. So basically, you press one button, and then you turn a dial, and a center square in the center of your screen magnifies a certain area, and you can adjust finer focus that way. I would have preferred it if there was like a lever on the lens, so like a one maneuver. Kind of like the exposure compensation dials. It's right there. You just have to move it directly. This is kind of 2 or 2.5 steps, but it's not bad. And I do appreciate that feature. If you go to the actual blog, photography.ca/blog, I'm going to throw a couple of pictures that I took in manual focus. And they came out pretty good, but you could judge for yourself. As with all point and shoots, there is a shutter lag problem here. So when you press the shutter, it's not taking the photo immediately. There is a bit of a lag. And this is common with all point-and-shoot cameras. And it sucks. And it sucks because you cannot take good shots of moving targets, of moving people, of pets, of sports, of anything that moves with this camera. You just can't. So I don't know many other point-and-shoots that can. It's just one of the failings of point-and-shoot cameras, this shutter lag. But the G11 has it as well. So this is going to be good for stationary objects. It's certainly good to take a portrait of a person or a group of people. But if these people are moving, if you're trying to take a picture of your dog, if you're trying to take a picture of your child crawling, it's going to suck for that. So know that in advance. The viewfinder, for all intents and purposes, is useless on this camera. I mean, you just look through it. It's teeny, teeny, teeny. And you can still see the lens through the viewfinder, which I found terribly, terribly disappointing. So it's useless. When you're going to be composing your scenes, you're going to be doing it mostly with the LCD screen, and you'll see it that way. And I think that's all I really got to say about the camera. So really, it's a good point and shoot camera. It's good overall. How does it compare with other cameras? There will be other point and shoot cameras that are better in one regard and less good in another regard. It's just simply the way it works. Another point and shoot that people really like is the Panasonic LX3. I'm going to put links in the show notes to both. I'm also going to put a couple of images that I've taken with the G11 so you can see the quality of the images. One thing I should say is it actually goes up to ISO 3200, which is a really nice ISO until you look at the shots at 3200. You know, for me, I took shots at 800 and already I found there was too much noise in my 800 shots. One thing to note that's directly related to the noise is the sensor size, right? When you have a larger sensor, you're going to have less noise. So it's that simple. Because these sensors on these cameras are pretty small, even though they can go up to ISO 3200, you're really seeing the noise factor. So not so useful for an amazing shot, but good to catch the shot. Something is better than nothing. 100, 200, and 400, I found the quality quite good and the noise minimal, but at 800 and above, too much noise for my taste. So that's just me. I got a picky eye. If your eye can handle it, you can handle it. I should say that the quality of the grain is decent. It actually reminds me of a film a little bit, the quality of the grain, but too much for me. And that's all I got to say about that. So I hope some of you found it interesting. Again, if you haven't bought a camera and you're interested in photography, do not buy a point-and-shoot camera first. You don't want to do that. The only people that should be getting point-and-shoot cameras, in my opinion, are non-photographers and photographers that want something for everyday portability and are not going to a shoot. Those are the only two reasons I see point-and-shoots being useful apparatuses in different regards. Your opinion may differ. Please let me know if it does. Leave a comment on the blog, photography.ca/blog. Send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com, or just go to the forum and post the thread there. in terms of our forum, more and more people are joining. It's a friendly place, and people are posting all kinds. Our assignment this month is a macro or close-up shot. So even if you don't have a dedicated macro lens, just something that looms larger in the frame would be very, very good. We have some fantastic submissions thus far. So I do, I do recommend you take a look. If you're lurking on the forum, I recommend you join. We're a nice, easygoing bunch, and we'd love to have you. We have a Facebook fan page as well, where I'm really trying to post, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times a week, interesting images that I love, that I see on the web. Just want to share them with people. So if you want to be a fan of photography.ca, you can click the link on the blog as well. And really easy to do. If you like this podcast and you wanted to review it in iTunes, iTunes is still the primary way people are finding us. It would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Slight bit of a hassle leaving reviews on iTunes has been my experience, but still appreciated if you can spend a few moments and you did indeed like this podcast. New podcasts coming out all the time, maybe not as fast as I like, but they're still coming out. I have loads of ideas. I'm going to talk about printing papers very shortly. Lots of stuff on the horizon. If you have something that you want me to talk about that you think is going to be very interesting for other people, I'd love to hear your ideas. And again, just shoot me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. Come to the forum, or, you know, I'm easy to get in touch with. So feel free to do so, please. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It is winter now, and it's bloody cold, and I hate the cold. But still, there are all kinds of opportunities in the winter that you're not going to find any other time. So, you know, go out for shorter periods of time. Make sure your batteries are warm. Try and keep them warm. Try and keep an extra set of batteries on you. Always a good thing to do. So thanks for listening, everyone. Get out there. Put on your warm winter jackets. Put on your gloves that allow some finger movements so you can manipulate the controls without taking off your gloves. But still, just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.